On-brand win for the Tigers, a gritty, gutty, scrappy game where they used the bullpen, pinch hitters, did the whole thing, and swept the playoff-proven Houston Astros. So I don't want to hear about how Cleveland's technically the favorite this next round. Thanks for that, Chris. We have a lot to do this hour. We have the two Grand Slam at 7:25. We have a special guest at 7:35, Kirk Gibson. See, back in June, Gibby called in. Tigers were scuffling, falling behind. And, well, he told us, don't jump off the cliff. You guys sound like you're on the ledge. Don't be negative. He was seeing some things. They proceeded to go 10-17 in June, and Gibby became the butt of the joke. I think it's only fair that Gibby gets a return serve today. The Tigers are very much still playing baseball. And Tony Paul, the Detroit News, had a quote from Gibby. Quote, they ripped my ass for an effing week, and that's okay. Sounds like he's got some thoughts.
Well, it sounds like he's keeping receipts, like we've heard from Brad Holmes and some other prominent Detroiters.
So we'll get to him 7:35 this morning. Phone calls to get to as well on this baseball team. Eric in Clarkston, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Good morning.
So just the comments on Job coming in, I think it was a high-level move by Hinge. It was like, how do you learn in that situation without being in that situation? I think it's for down the road. That is like invaluable experience. And I the outcome wasn't great. Gave up two runs, all that. But the amount of experience he just gained in that game with that kind of crowd, the only way that you can get that experience is being in that game.
I thought about the crowd too, because his previous two outings were at home. Right, so yep. This is his first time in a visiting major league ballpark, and it's in a one-run game, and then eventually with Ducks on the Pond in a one-run game in the postseason. And he didn't seem rattled. I mean, he gave up the two runs. I mean, some of that's aided by plays they should have made in the field. He also had the pitch comm issue. So, like, you really feel like maybe either it helped him or maybe he was
even more
anxiety because he's rattled. Like, nothing's going right for me right now. But now you learn from it. And, if he's here, if he's on the roster, he's got to pitch, period.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point in regards to the experience that he gained. If he has to go in down in Cleveland, if he has to go in at home, is he going to go in with the lead? At some point, he's going to be in that same situation. And how does he handle it? What did he learn from that as an individual?
They're going to need him to win it all.
Yep.
So you got to do it. And you got to be uncomfortable. And he's got to get his debut. You got that out of the way. You hope he grows from it. But they will need him to win it all, because as you get into seven-game series, you're not going to be able to patchwork this bullpen the way it was prior to Job. You need him, especially when you don't know if you can trust Casey Mize. You know, I'll go back to 06. That's all we can do is refer to past previous experiences in postseason. Remember, Jeremy Bonderman started game 4 of the ALDS against the Yankees in 06. Nobody trusted him. He nearly threw a no-hitter. You know, are we going to have to see a Casey Mize start? I hope not. I think that might be reaching here a little bit. And a Maeda? No.
No.
But probably a Montero.
Probably. Again, starting is not, these guys won't start, but you're going to need the bulk reliever.
But a game like where you go Montero 3-4 innings and the other team, like the Yankees, is grinding pitch counts up. And then you bring in Job to maybe get you 2 or 3-2.
Sure.
I think that's what the plan is here. I don't think they plan on starting him. I'd be pretty surprised at that, but who knows? You know, we've seen crazier things happen. David Price debuted, you know, this way.
Oh, we've seen a lot. I mean, Josh Beckett was a guy who really got seasoned in the playoffs. Francisco Rodriguez, by the way, on a World Series baseball team as a youngster. There are examples of this, and he's that reinforcement that we talked about at the end of the regular season. Let's get to Roy in Livonia. Roy, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Morning. I just think this team is the epitome of what baseball is. The eighth inning, not great. You know, Job hits the first guy. Torque doesn't make a good throw to home. Jake has been so good defensively. He's got to come up with a scoop there. We got to get behind the baseball and right field on that tag to make a better throw home.
Mm-hmm.
But Ibañez picked them all up. And that's what baseball is about, picking up your teammates. AJ is doing something with, you know, it's almost like Moneyball with the pitching staff. Nice thing about playoff baseball, Casey Mize, guy like Casey Mize, one big start, one big outing away from clearing the whole slate and being who he wants to be again. And I just think this team is the epitome of baseball and about picking up the next guy. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. Tigers.
It's a really good phone call, Roy. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's okay, it's what baseball's, but it's what team sports are about. If it's not golf, it's not tennis, right? You're in there, and you're going to have to at some point step in and step up to cover a teammate. Sometimes you got to step in and step up to cover yourself.
Well, I think, too, like, baseball, you can be siloed, like you're in your own little box.
Yeah.
It's not the same as hockey, basketball, football, where mid-play a teammate can help you.
Right.
You're on an island in that batter's box, and you can feel like you're alone and all the pressure is on you, but it's what makes what the Tigers are doing so exciting is you're not alone. You're not expected to win the game by yourself. They don't have a superstar $40 million player who's got to make the play right now or he's a failure in his contract as he's overpaid and all that stuff. Their playoff roster is $18 million. It's absurd. Cole Keith is the highest paid player on the playoff roster. There's no ego. No one saying, you can't lift me from the game. They understand. They're being replaced by one of their teammates who has a better chance to deliver. Andy Ibañez had spent the entire game waiting for that matchup, that pitcher. And it looked like it, John. I know he fell 0-2, but he was making good contact. He was, even the foul balls looked like he was lining him up. And then he battles. He rallies. And he does what Andy Ibañez does. Death, taxes, and Ibañez against the lefty.
Yes, hopefully you can keep counting on it.
Did you see AJ right after the game? They did like the on-field interview.
Yeah.
And the last question they asked him was, hey, you haven't made this about you, but look at this ballpark. This is where you used to be. Any thoughts on it? And he said, real quick, isn't baseball great? You know, at least a small part of, maybe a big part of this, he really appreciated beating that team.
Oh, sure. No question about it.
And he doesn't want to make that the story because it's not the story.
No.
But personally, that's got to be pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. And he did it. He is so good with the media. He's good with us in handling everything. He is good in the post game that he knows the camera is on him when he's talking to the team. He was awesome. The post game locker room speech was terrific. Handling, you know, getting his point across in that moment, isn't baseball great? Got his point across without making it about him.
Ticket text. I want to make sure I read this one correctly. First time the Tigers and Lions host playoff games in the same year since? Guess, John.
I don't know. 57?
Further back.
Not the 1800s.
Yeah. It starts with a 9. 1935. Did we fact check that ticket text?
Well, it doesn't really start with a 9.
Well,
how many times have the Lions hosted a playoff game?
We're right. Going back to biblical times.
Yes, well, it feels like something's up right now.
Before Jesus.
All right. Hey, speaking of the state of Detroit sports, we have to read this ticket text.
Okay, wait. So back to that quick.
Yes.
First off, the Lions haven't played many home games.
Right.
So it's probably right. There's a technicality to that. So both won championships that year, which is a good sign, but that doesn't count the Lions playoff game in January.
It's got to be the current season.
It's got to be the current season. So the Lions, if they win, if they host a playoff game, will be true even though it's January, because the Lions, that's how it works with the NFL.
Right, yeah, yes.
They don't do the double year seasons.
Right.
But just the state of Detroit sports. Everybody's feeling good right now. By the way, Dan Campbell was on an 0-16 team and has got a team that could win the whole thing. A.J. Hinch was on the 0-3 Tigers, who had the worst record in franchise history, has a chance to pull this team from the abyss. Kind of cool. Yeah. Texter says, does all this Detroit sports uprise put Troy Weaver on the hot seat? He says, my God, every organization has flipped the script. That's Jalen and Flat Rock.
Yeah, I think it puts him on the hot seat.
The word has been hot around here, right? I guess it's burned.
You want to know the state of your franchise when people don't know that you fired your general manager months ago.
They play Sunday, by the way, so they get Sunday themselves in Detroit. 8 o'clock against the Bucks at LCA.
All this makes me wonder.
You want to go see it?
No.
You went to a Red Wing preseason game.
There you go.
Yeah. That's great.
We'll answer the big questions like, is Matt Millen on the hot seat coming up next?
Put Vila on it, too.
Two Grand Slam, Heather's News, Kurt Gibson. Have it's all coming up. It's 97.1.
Hey, you've heard me talk about injury attorney David Femininio for some time. Just listen to some of the results that David and his amazing team have been able to get for injured clients. You've got $3.5 million for one, $5 million for another, $11.5 million for an injured client. You need an attorney that will fight relentlessly for you and be on your side. You can call and speak to David right now by calling 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
Before the two grand slam, Heather tells us what's going on in the news.
Yeah, so we know there's football fans who don't love Taylor Swift taking over their sport, right? But have you ever wondered how the players actually feel about it? Well, according to an anonymous poll, 72.5% of players think Taylor Swift's presence at the games has been a positive for the league. Only 4.9% think it's been a negative, and the rest say it's really had no effect whatsoever. So we don't know who these players are, right? I don't know who said what, but one player said, at the end of the day, it's a business and you need to get as many eyes on it as possible. And she brings a lot of eyes. So, you know, if it increases the salary cap, I don't think anybody's going to be too mad about that one. On the opposite side of that, another player said, I feel like she's getting unnecessary coverage. There was the whole NFL opening season video on Twitter, and she was featured 5 times, and our quarterback was featured none. That's not even right. She's not the NFL.
Get over yourself. Just have some fun with it.
So it sounds like a majority of players are, right?
Absolutely.
And it makes sense why, but just a couple of them. Now, only 102 players were actually polled, so that plays into it as well.
Still, that's a huge percentage that say, hey, either it's good or neutral.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So a disgruntled man is now facing charges after he decided to attack a random man in Troy last week. So the victim was out walking his dog, just being a normal human being. This was on Crooks Road between Big Beaver and Waddles when this man approached him. The man started screaming in the victim's face and then punched the victim in the head and ripped his shirt off and then walked away.
What?
Turns out police were able to find this guy, and he told police that he was upset after he quit his job and had a fight with his family, and he just decided to attack the first person he saw.
Sure, I guess that's an option.
He's been charged with assault and battery and ordered to undergo a mental health evaluation. Hopefully the man is okay, right? Yes. What the heck? Another man is facing charges and could possibly be spending some years in jail after he was a substitute teacher for a day in a Macomb County classroom. And you think, well, what could be so bad about being a sub?
Yeah.
Well, this guy, 62-year-old Livonia man, is accused of watching porn and touching himself while he was subbing at the Academy of Warren last week. He's been charged with distributing sexually explicit visual or verbal material to children, which is a 2-year felony, and obscene disorderly conduct. His bond was set at $25,000.
I'm not even sure what to say other than, ugh.
Yeah, it's real icky. It's I'm guessing the students were there in the classroom at the time. The school says, hey, this is not a full-time employee at the school. He was hired through the, you know, staffing portal. And as soon as we found out, we got rid of him, took him to authorities or notified the authorities. Sounds like that was his first day in the classroom.
And his last.
Will never be in another classroom. The Tigers may need to find a new broadcast home. Diamond Sports Group, which owns Bally Sports Detroit, just announced that it plans to stop televising all but the Atlanta Brave games next season. So that means the Tigers and the other teams will need to renegotiate their contracts with the company, or they can find a whole nother option if they like as well.
I really hope they find another option. I'm so over the drama of Bally Sports and Diamond Sports. Like, just let's all move on. We don't have to deal with them anymore.
Yep. I always find it fascinating, these stories. Merriam-Webster just added 200 new words and terms, including some that you probably know and some that you might not. And here's just a few things that I didn't know. Touch grass.
Oh, yeah. You haven't heard that?
No, I've never heard that.
That's for people who are chronically online. They need to go out and touch grass.
Yeah,
be connected.
For the real world.
Yes.
Like, get out of the house, do some normal activities outside. I've never heard touch grass.
Really?
No, yeah. And I feel like I am connected to the real world, but I...
So that's why no one's
talking to you. Maybe it's because I'm always touching grass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, I don't know. And then some of these that you know. True crime, Nepo baby, creepy crawlies.
Creepy crawlies.
Snog.
Snog, please explain.
Is a British slang for making out.
So why is that in the American dictionary?
Because apparently we're using this word.
It's a British word for making out?
Yeah.
We're going to snog?
We're going to snog. They're snogging.
I could think of better ways to say it.
Dungeon crawler?
What is that?
A video game that primarily focuses on defeating enemies in a dungeon-like environment. Shadow ban? Hiding someone's content from the other person, usually without their knowledge. Mm-hmm. Street corn?
Street corn.
Yeah.
That's just it's
grilled corn on the cob that's coated
with... Oh, I didn't know if it was slang for something.
Like, you'd think it was, but no. I mean, so some of these you definitely know.
Sure.
And then they're all like the abbreviations, IDGAF, you know.
Oh, that's in the dictionary now?
It is.
We're going way too far. For
Donna,
reals.
Donna, it'll be okay.
Yeah, for reals. Yep. Is that in there?
Probably already is.
Yeah. It's Heather with the news. 2 Grand Slam time.
Well, this is the favorite part. My favorite part of Thursdays is the 2 Grand Slam. I'm ready to give away a whole bunch of money. John, you did really well reading the questions.
Oh, thank you.
On Tuesday, yes.
Approval, that means a lot to
our contestant Tuesday got 7, so hopefully...
I believe they got 6 and TJ got 7.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yes,
oh, okay,
yes.
Sorry.
We gave TJ the opportunity.
Yeah, I heard that too. Okay. Yeah. Either way, let's give away a whole bunch of money. Rules, super simple. 60 seconds, 10 questions, $25 for each question answered correctly. Get them all right, you get $2,000. It's a game of using your time wisely.
Yes.
If our contestant doesn't know an answer, skip, pass. We'll come back to it if there's enough time.
Everybody wants to, when they hear a question, they want to get it right. So they pause. And if you don't know it right away, just say pass so that you can come back to it.
But there is some tricks. Like if you've passed a lot of times.
Yeah.
Start guessing. Yeah. Like an educated guess and just go for it. But let's do it. Who's our contestant?
Ben in Livonia. Ben.
Yeah, mess around in Livonia and find out what happens.
We're going to find out. What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. You ready?
Good. Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Have you played before?
I have. I've actually got 9 twice and 8 once.
Really?
Oh.
This is your 4th time playing? Holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I hope this is it, Ben. I hope you get them all right.
Yep, me too.
Okay, so your time is going to start as soon as I start reading the first question. Here we go. Who leads the Detroit Lions in rushing yardage this season?
David Montgomery.
Who won the National League East this season?
The Phillies.
The Atlanta Falcons host this team tonight.
Bucks, Tampa Bay.
This hip-hop trio had the 1992 hit Jump Around.
House of Pain.
Jerry Stiller played this character in the sitcom Seinfeld.
His dad?
Cole Reagan's pitches for this Major League Baseball team.
Kansas City Royals.
Adley Rutschman plays for this Major League Baseball team.
Baltimore Orioles.
What is the name of the hurricane that made landfall in Florida last week?
Helene.
Travis Hunter plays for this college football team.
Colorado.
This team lost the 2024 Stanley Cup Finals.
Oh my God, Stanley Cup Finals. Oh, who lost? Oh, I'm drawing a blank here.
Oh.
So, going to the judge.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Re-ask the question. We needed a name. Doesn't work.
Jerry Stiller played this character in the sitcom Seinfeld.
Yep.
Do you know it?
I don't know.
That's all right.
Oh, man. His dad, that is.
Everybody has a dad. That could be the answer to anything.
Right.
You still got 7 right. Everybody got 7?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah, 7 right. So that's still a hell of a run. Okay. And here's the thing, you're going to kick yourself. The first question, who leads the Lions in rushing yards? You guessed Montgomery, which is what
Gibbs.
I would have said.
Yeah.
It's Gibbs.
Gibbs, close. Probably close, yeah. I don't know. It could have been either.
That's Tom trying to trip people up one question out of the gate. But 7 right. We'll put you on hold. We'll make sure you get paid. Good stuff, Ben.
Yeah. Yep, thank you, guys.
Yep. Good stuff, but just not for him because I think he said, 8 8-9 Yeah, that's his fourth time as those worst performance. But
he still did really well.
Oh, yeah, he did really good. Jerry Stiller. Not dad.
Frank Costanza.
Frank Costanza, yes. Yeah. Because, when he said dad, I'm like, oh, wait a second. I mean, it was George's dad.
George's dad, yeah.
But, he just said dad. He could have been talking about Seinfeld's dad.
That's tough.
Yeah.
The only other one he missed was clearly the last one.
Yeah.
Who lost the Stanley Cup final.
Mm-hmm.
Edmonton Oilers, Connor McDavid.
Tough one.
I think that's easier than the Maz one we had Tuesday. Because I think we talked more about the Stanley Cup finals because it was more competitive.
Would the Cup go back to Canada? Ken Holland,
your favorite GM ever.
Yeah, all that good stuff.
Hey, anybody think he sounded a little like AJ Hinch?
I didn't think about
that. It didn't ring a bell.
Yeah, Greg kind of thought it. Me and him.
I could listen back to it. Maybe it sounds like AJ Hinch.
Everything's just like coming together. Like everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we've got
a wavelength going on.
Ben is AJ Hinch. Who is our Brad Holmes caller? What's the name that he goes by?
Corin. Yes.
Corin. Yeah. So at least now we can identify.
He's off this week.
Ben and Livonia and Corin. Yeah.
So $175, Genesis Credit Union brings you the $2,000 slam on Thursdays. Just to go through it real quick, Montgomery leads the Lions in rushing. The Phillies won the National League East. The Falcons and the Bucks play tonight. They might not even realize it with all the Tigers we've been talking. Hip Hop Trio, House of Pain, Frank Costanza was the character Jerry Stiller played. Cole Reagan's Royals, Adley Rutschman, Orioles. Name of the Hurricane, Helene. Travis Hunter played and plays at Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk Gibson's next. 97.1. Prophetic stuff. That was Kirk Gibson in June. After he called us, they proceeded to go 10-17 that month, and poor Gibby was the butt of the joke. Well, I think we're the butt of the joke now, as the Tigers are not only in the playoffs, they advanced to the ALDS, mm-hmm. and we heard through the grapevine, Tony Paul points out, Gibby didn't forget. He told Tony Paul with a big grin, they ripped my ass for a week. Weeks they did, and that's okay. Gibby is joining us this morning. Kirk, talk your talk. Good morning.
Well, let's just say we can agree nobody saw this coming on.
yes, to your point, we just lost him.
He just dropped.
Yeah. Well, I hope he had more to say than that.
Me too. We have a whole segment dedicated for Gibby's rebuttal. We'll get him back in a second.
It's a cell phone issue. Yeah, we'll get him back in a moment. But yeah, I mean.
What are the odds, right? Was that a mic drop? Okay. We did not hang up on him. I want to be very clear about that.
Gotta love live radio.
We'll get him back here in a second.
He's calling back now.
Yeah, we'll get him.
unbelievable. Who would have seen this coming?
We're going to try that again. Greg, we're good? All right. Gibby, I don't know what happened, but the floor is yours.
Well, I said what I had to say. I was done. Just messing with you, right?
Nobody saw this coming, but we are allowed to change our expectations and our opinion of the team. At what point, or did you ever expect this, where they are right now, being in the postseason, winning a postseason series?
Honestly, I knew they were going to be better. Because I do have I'm around enough and have been within the organization for, during the development of the nucleus of this team. And just saw more and more positive things happening, like little things. Like I saw the buy-in, number one. If you look at the early on, the buy-in was to control the zone for pitching and hitting. So you could kind of see the guys, the effort was coming, the results weren't there. But when the effort comes and the buy-in comes and then the results come, then things can really take off. But honestly, it's just my nature is not to, when you feel like you're getting too frustrated and you're starting to question whether we should cash in or not, you have to my way is just to see, I got to counteract it in my own head. You know, that's the way I was as a player. You know, Matt Vierling struck out three times the other day, and we had a conversation not too long ago with Matt and I. I said, I don't care if you strike out three times. You just think about winning it with the fourth at bat. Or just think how good it feels, because there's situations that happen where you're on the road and the fans are burying you. Every time you're looking bad and you're looking worse and you're looking worse. But you have that opportunity, and it's the coolest feeling when you can fail, and then succeed, both individually and as a team. And that's the reason that I called in that day, was just because I'd listened to you the morning before, and I understand the frustration. I understand everybody's point of view. But my personality is, let's don't let that in. You know, like, let's control what we let in here. Let's don't let the negative get us down or get us not believing in ourselves. And it does help the team when the fans come down and they can continue to dig in there. And Comerica Park has, from the beginning of June to now, how far has that transformed to what we're used to hearing? I mean, that reminded me of Tiger Stadium there.
Yeah, or better yet, what is it going to look like on Wednesday now that we got a home playoff game at Comerica? I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned in that phone call back in June some similarities to 84. People have kind of adopted roar of 24. How far can this team go?
I think they're very dangerous. I think they can go all the way. I really do. And A.J. Hinch has had a stellar year so far. The psychology that he's used to get these guys to believe in themselves. I mean, just get back in your head how this season has developed and how he started using people in specific roles. And Andy Ibanez yesterday, he had AJ showed the confidence in him all year. He came up. He's got one thing to do. AJ has geniusly whittled it down to one thing. I mean, you're sitting there on the bench. You know that if they bring the lefty in, you get him. You get prepared for one thing, one guy, and miraculously it works again. I mean, it's incredible. At the end of the year doing the games, you could feel the expectation they were going to come back no matter how late it was in the game. And the more that those successes happen, the more that you do these miraculous things and the more people start talking about it, you know, you believe in it and you feel it and it continues to go on. So I think the sky's the limit. I think they can go all the way. This team is built. They do so many things good, and they're all committed to it. And now they're the celebrations, that just imprints who we are. And I think they could fight a bulldozer right now and think they'd win.
I'd love to hear your perspective, because we've heard from the players about how tight this team is, how close they are. You're around them all the time. How have you seen that develop, and how important is that in the ultimate success of this team?
Yeah, it's important. It's a feel. It starts really on the field early when AJ lays out how they're going to approach this season. Then it starts to unfold through spring training. Spring training can get long. They really never let it get long. They just continue to implement who they're going to be. And then as they gradually start winning some ball games. And again, like, how you know you have character is when you go down 8 games under 500 and you're still pulling and you don't have little segmented groups around the locker room. You don't hear it elsewhere around the stadium. Everybody stays solidified publicly. And they get frustrated, but these guys, I mean, anybody who's watching Tiger, they're a fun bunch of guys. They're a fun team. And you can just tell. It's their personality. It's what they – it's the exhaust which they give off. It's really exciting for these kids, for the organization. It's been a long time coming.
Gibby, we'll get you out of here with this. Want to make sure that you plug the foundation, KurtGibsonFoundation.org, the work with Parkinson's that you've done and the way that you've continued to stay active and do your best with Parkinson's.
Yeah, you know, I had an unveiling on the same day that the Tigers' first game was, and one of my biggest supporters has been Marian Ilitch, and we're sitting there watching the game, and who walks in but Mrs. Ilitch? And we sat there, and as the team was holding on for that win, it was a little bit of an odd situation, but, man, we had one hell of a watch party over there. And I unveiled that we're going to create a wellness center for people with Parkinson's. And you can go to our website at KurtGibsonFoundation.org and find out all about it. A lot in need of volunteers, obviously, and funds. It'll be a fully funded facility. We've committed to 10 years to fund it for 10 years, and it's going to be very helpful to help those that are suffering from Parkinson's and the caregivers alike. And it's just a new goal that we've set as a group. And thanks for mentioning it. But for right now, let's go get them Tigers. And I really hesitated from doing this interview today because I'm not trying to gloat about a prediction that I made.
We're glad you're okay? Right.
Yes.
Yeah, well, so far, but let's keep it going. This is very exciting. It's going to be awesome for Detroit. And, we've always kind of battled as a city my whole life since I was born and raised real close right here. And I'm proud to say, again, they're from the city of Detroit, and we're banded together. We'll be behind. We got the Tigers. We got the Lions. And the Red Wings look much better. So everybody's feeling good. We like we go as our sports teams go a little bit. Right now it's very, very good.
Gibby, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for calling.
I love the banter. I love that you called the first time, and I love that we're all pulling in the same direction right now.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, Kurt Gibson. Tigers. Go Tigers. How about that, John? That's your guy.
That's my hero. That's poster on the wall.
We can reflect on Gibby. And yes, talk about this baseball team, the story, next, 97.1.
Hey, when it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. And I've talked to you before about my dealings with First Merchants Bank. That's why I bank with them. I think you should as well. Even today, we've got some new things going on in our life. And last night, after bankers' hours, communication with the bank. This morning, even already this morning, we start early, have already had communication with the bank. So they are there to meet you where you need to be. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. I already mentioned, they're attentive. They take the time to get to know you and build a financial plan that's going to fit your unique situation. And when you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well, and they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Of course they did.
Uh-huh.
Of course they did. Sizing them up all day, waiting for a chance to hit a lefty. Andy Ibañez comes in, and AJ Hinch pushes the right button. People go, why'd you put Job in? He pushed the right button in the eighth. The Tigers rally. Tigers win. Tigers to the ALDS. Good morning. We got open lines if you want to talk about this baseball team. We just had Gibby on.
Yeah.
And Ticket Texter says, love the interview with Gibby. Class act, always has been. Sean at work.
He's always been a class act. I mean, from a player, and that was my childhood, from everything that he's ever done with the Tigers. And it's been a tough run. And he has always been a class act, and he always shoots you pretty straight.
Yeah, he said, and I totally believe it's the way he's wired.
Sure.
When things are going south, when people are frustrated, he understood the frustration. it's in his nature to push back. And John, yeah. I respect that. For me, when things are being sold as too rosy, like at the time they were 500, then I'm like, I feel like I have to counteract what I perceive to be, not necessarily from him, but from some fans, that everything's going to be okay. I didn't feel like everything was going to be okay. June was really bad.
Yeah.
So I felt like I had to counter that. I'm a fan. I'm thrilled with what they're doing. You're thrilled with what they're doing.
It was really hard to buy his message that day.
Yeah.
And I think the reason was is he alluded to it. He sees the philosophical approach every day. It's been proven accurate that the Tigers' approach to the way they play the game will work. It's to me, and it's why we even sparred a little bit in the season back and forth.
You called it toxic what we were saying.
I said you were right about Chapman. Matt Chapman would probably make this team better.
And I'm not looking to take a victory.
But we don't need to get into all that.
No.
What I was arguing more was the philosophical nature that I thought that Harris was taking strays from Avila.
Which he probably was.
The jury's out on Harris in terms of free agents and what he does and how he spends. You know, the top three free agents he added this season were Flaherty, Maeda, and Canna.
None of which are contributing right now. Which, by the way, I don't think is like a selling point for Harris that you're...
No, it's not. Exactly. So, again, jury's out on that. But we don't need to get like those weeds and all that stuff.
No.
But I believe the way that they approach baseball is the right way. That if you put talent in the way that they're playing, which is taking pitches, grinding out at bats, lefty versus righty, righty versus lefty. These are all fundamental things I grew up watching the sport. Stealing bases, aggressive base running. You know, this is the way you win the most in baseball. And then also baseball has, the shift has gone away. I don't know if this is happening with the shift.
Right.
Seriously. Like, and it's just the way I believe you should play the game. A launch angle went way too far. I think it's probably the reason why Torque struggles more than anything. Cause he's I called him this year, an analytical robot.
Sure.
Like he was built in a lab the way he can change that, and he is getting better at taking it back.
To an extent, he is, right? So they've talked about it, how he's good if he just settles in and hits the ball middle of the field. But if you're trying to pull and you're trying to swing for the fences and you're trying to hit home runs to live up to the number one pick, the 30 home run season, he got all out of whack. And I'm not telling you he's out of the woods, but I thought his at-bat yesterday in the eighth is super under the radar. Because he's had at-bats this season.
Radar? Don't we have a Raider? We have a Raider before. I swear.
Don't tell me Stoney did that.
Stoney did the Raider.
No.
Yes.
My point is, Torque has disappointed even in this playoffs with runners in scoring position. And it would have been real easy to grip it and rip it and try to swing for the fences. He was not given a strike. He did not swing. He got on base. He played team baseball. And he let A.J. Hinch go to the bench to bring in Andy Ibanez. It was, something that should be on our radar, what he's starting to do. Yes.
Not the Raider?
The Raider.
Not the Raider, yeah. Quick question, though, because it brought up on Twitch, and I made that comment, you know, my hero. I have the Kurt Gibson poster. I still have the Kurt Gibson poster. It is still up in my house, along with some other, you know, sports posters, but that was one that was up in my room.
Yeah.
I had the Reggie White, Minister of Defense. Tom, we were talking quick at the break, the Bash Brothers. Like, there were posters that you had up in your room as a kid. Did you have sports posters up?
No, I had some Red Wings memorabilia, but I didn't have posters on the wall.
And it was brought up on Twitch. You know, do kids still do this? Because some of the parents that are on Twitch are saying, no, like they have, you know, their daughters have cats or dogs or whatever. And there's art, but there's not sports posters. And
is that dead?
I'm curious, do kids still put up posters of their sports heroes in their rooms?
Heather's shaking her head.
I don't know.
You don't think so?
Oh, I really have no idea. I want to say no because I feel like posters aren't as easily available as they... Like, I used to go to the store and go to the magazines and get, like, the teeny bopper magazines, and there was posters in there that you could put up on your wall of, like, celebrities or whatnot.
Those aren't even available now. Yeah.
So, but I still feel like kids want to display people they're into, but I'm not around kids of that age. Like, I have no idea.
Hey, listen, we could throw the number out with that too. I mean, listen, the focal point is this baseball team, but we can get to the bottom of this for John. Do people still have, do their kids still have posters of their favorite athletes?
Yeah, who are they?
Yeah, well, there's one in here that said Jim actually had the posters of cats.
He did.
Our questions about the Tigers. Your reaction to that game, what stood out? Of course, Jackson Job, a discussion worth having. Some people were very upset with A.J. Hinch in the moment. Was John upset? Was I upset? And do we just need to admit something about this Tigers baseball team? We'll do that next. It's 97.1.